Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk podcast. The Let's Talk podcast is a podcast where we get to talk about Christ Jesus our Lord, where we get to magnify him. It's been a while, but we are glad to take time and to record a podcast again. I'm with my brother, Mark Arudi.
Yeah.
Mark Arudi.
Yes.
Mekua wapita.
I've been here in Nairobi, in Kenya. It's a joy to be here. Thank you, Kabuka. It's been a while, as you have put it. And it's a joy to be here and, and reflect on God's work in our lives. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
The
Lord has been so gracious.
So
kind.
Amen.
Despite all my feelings that are very, very apparent. He has been so gracious. So I'm really grateful for what he continues to do in me. Grateful for his son, through whom we have access to all these blessings, based on his merit, and not anything in and of us, what we have accomplished. So just basically continue to rejoice in the gospel.
Wow, I mean, it's a joy to hear that, Stan. And looking at what Christ does and who he is the mediator between God and man. And apart from him, there's no salvation. And for you to rejoice in the only thing that matters in this life and in the life to come, it's great for sure, because we've got to put our eyes on what matters most. I'm trying to put into to gather into it words the thoughts of Jim Elliot. He is wise, he who loses,
I think he's saying that
who doesn't keep what he has so that he can gain
what he can't lose.
And I mean, that is Christ, really. So that we, together with the disciples, we leave everything. Together with Paul, we say that I count all loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. And it's a joy to hear you, Stan. Thank you for reminding us about the preciousness of Jesus Christ in the lives of sinners.
Just in that line, and listeners, today we're just sharing how Christ has been sweet to us. The reason why I have spoken about this, especially boasting in Christ, is because I have found myself boasting in other things. For myself, boasting in you know, the approval of men. You know, I want the acclaim of men. I want the worship of men. To be clear and explicit about that. And God has been gracious to convict me of this particular sin. And to help me see that true worth is not found in the praise of men, but rather it is to be found in Christ. To boast only in the Lord. And just to find true worth and true joy in that I am Christ's beloved. I am his, and he is mine. And to just rest there. To rest not based off what the society would try to call us to, or to label us with, you know, the things that society would call us to or label us as, you know, the things that are admirable, the things that, you know, denote success,
Yeah.
But rather to know that for the Christian,
yeah,
all these things in and of themselves are not to be the distinguishing mark of who he is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, he is Christ's beloved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his boast is in the Lord.
Yeah.
His boast is in Christ.
Yeah.
What he or she ought to endeavor to hold on to and to know is to know Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Yeah, and so in this way, Jesus has been sweet to me.
Amen.
To convict me of this particular sin.
Amen.
And to just bring me to joy, true joy.
Amen.
True joy in him.
Yeah.
Amen. And just true joy in him. How has Christ been sweet to you?
Thanks for sharing that, Stan. That's so helpful. I think even to our listeners.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to lose focus on Christ for the Christian and to find identity in other things.
Yep.
You know, these things are not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they were never meant to replace the Creator. They were meant to point to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so our boast can only in Christ. And should we boast, then we're going to boast in our weaknesses. I think Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians, because ultimately there's nothing in us to boast about apart from our weaknesses, really. And so if truly our boast is going to make sense, then I think it's Christ alone. And thanks for sharing that, Stan. In the same line, as I think of Christ's sweetness and how he has been sweet to me, I think of Colossians chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
when Paul talks about how we were once alienated from Christ, from God himself,
mm-hmm.
and we were hostile. That is Colossians chapter 1, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach
mm-hmm.
before him. I look at this and what our sins deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Our sins deserve the wrath of God, eternal damnation. That is what our sins deserve. That is what we deserve. We deserve to die for our sins. But right now, that's not the case. Right now, as a Christian, right now, the Christian is on his way to glory.
Yeah.
How comes that has happened? How comes when in his or her natural state, the Christian deserves punishment, eternal punishment? How is that possible? Especially looking at the holiness of God. He's a holy God.
Yeah.
He's a righteous God. And he's a just God. That means that he's going to give me what we rightly deserve. On the other hand, I am sinful, wretched, rebellious. I mean, all things which are opposite to God. And therefore, God being a just God demands that I be punished for my sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so how comes that the Christian mm-hmm. is now on his way to heaven? The Christian has eternal life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 gives us the answer
mm-hmm.
that he has now reconciled us in his body of flesh
mm-hmm.
by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the one who's going to present me. I'm not going to present myself. And so Christ is sweet to me. He has been sweet to me in the sense that he has reconciled me to God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So that now I can have fellowship with God the Father. Now I can have fellowship. All the Christians can have fellowship with the triune God. Yeah, so I think of that and I'm grateful. And even what you shared, Stan, that after seeing this, what else can be our boast? What else truly can be our boast? And the hymn comes into mind that our worth is not in what we own, but in Christ and him crucified. Yeah. Thanks for asking the question, Stan. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. the very fact that what the only basis of our true boasting is that we have been reconciled to God through Christ.
Yeah.
And also the very truth that this is the gospel that saves us.
Yeah.
And this is the gospel that keeps
us. Amen.
That we do not need anything more. We do not need to graduate to something more sophisticated to keep us in the faith.
Yeah.
That all we need
at
every step of our Christian life is go back and remind ourselves of the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and apply the gospel, you know, to every single place that we find ourselves in the gospel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How has that been for you? In the face of various, you know, difficult maybe seasons or struggles with sin.
Yeah. How has that been? I think it's so easy to usually shift our focus from the gospel. Mm-hmm. So that when I'm going through a certain temptation or a certain period of adversity,
mm-hmm.
the temptation is to think of the gospel as one of the many options. And so in this particular option, the gospel could not be working. So the temptation is to look for a certain specific cure to what I'm going through. And what comes into mind then, you know, maybe 5 tips to overcome laziness. I mean, praise the Lord for certain things which if we do, we might be able to overcome laziness. But the Christian, I must rest in the truth that because of Christ's death on the cross, victory by the merits of Christ over laziness has been granted to me. So it's a fight every day. It's a fight every day, not by my own strength, but by the Spirit of God who dwells within me, and by the grace, and by looking into Christ. That is the picture being painted by the author of Hebrews in chapter 12, that consider him who endured such hostility from sinners. Consider Christ.
Yeah.
As after we see chapter 11, we see men who've gone ahead of us, the cloud of witnesses, and how they, in their weaknesses, they still lived a life of faith. And in chapter 12, we are told to fix our eyes on Christ. And thereafter, we are shown how Christ, he endured the pain. He despised the shame and is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father. We are then being told to consider him, to consider Christ. And the temptation is always not to consider Christ. The temptation is to look at other things. The temptation is to look at self. How can I do this? We feel like Christ is insufficient, and therefore we need something more. And as a result, we get bored because in Christianity there's nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
So we want something more than Christ, but we don't seem to find that. Then Christianity doesn't seem active as it was on the first day.
Yeah.
On the first day, it was all about the gospel. On the first day, it was about Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. But the moment we go beyond that looking for something, we are told no road ahead, because the gospel is the only road. All we need to do is to plunge into the depths of the gospel, because we can never outgrow the gospel. We are saved by the gospel, kept by the gospel, and one day it's because of the gospel that we will reign with God forevermore. I don't know whether that's helpful, Stan.
Very helpful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things, just to belabor this point, is that actually this truth is just not one that is over the top of our heads. It's not a loof thing. It's something that is very practical in our day-to-day lives. That we get to apply the gospel in every facet of our lives. For example, when we are working and you know you feel unappreciated, when you get into a conflict maybe with someone, your struggles, for example, with lust, your struggles with anger, you know, your struggles with seeking human approval.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things are looking for a remedy.
Yeah.
And that remedy is the gospel.
Amen.
This remedy Amen. Is the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And so just all of this just to make the point that the truth of the gospel is very practical and applicable to our daily lives.
Amen.
And that we do not need anything more than the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So we praise the Lord for that, you know.
Yeah.
Mark, maybe probably another question yeah. is what have you been learning lately? What has stood out lately?
Yeah. Thank you, Stan, for that question. I'm trying to. Where can I start from? Let me. I've been learning about the Trinity.
Yeah.
I think the chief of that is a book by Fred Sanders.
Mm.
Yeah.
Trinity and chemistry.
Trinity, yeah. I mean, Fred Sanders is so interesting. You talk about a guy called Michael Polanyi.
Yeah.
I hope I got the name right. And, you know, this guy was into chemistry, then later on into Trinity, and he tries to prove the point of epistemology, all those things. Sorry, dear listener. But I've been learning about Trinity, the book, The Deep Things of God, how Trinity changes everything,
yeah.
How Trinity is not just, you know, this mental and verbal articulation of who God is, and it's actually an experiential thing for the believer. The believer is immersed in the Trinity because the gospel is all about the Trinity, and the Trinity is all about the gospel, that God the Father, before eternity, chose us to be His, and that Jesus Christ came and accomplished what God had planned before eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit is now applying that in the lives of the elect. Yeah.
Yeah. Difficult start to the book.
Yeah, difficult start of the book because the author is very, I would say, academic. And yeah, so. Taking a lot of time to understand, but it's been a privilege. I've also been learning about managing God's money. Just came into mind.
Yeah,
managing God's money, a book by Randy Alcorn, showing how we are just but stewards, that nothing belongs to us,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, money that God has given unto us should be used for His glory.
Yeah,
and you know what a manager does? A manager, if you're a manager of a tea company. You are not the owner of the company. You're just a manager. At the end of the day, you're supposed to report to the owner or to the board of the company. These are the companies running. The same attitude that we should have towards our money,
mm-hmm.
time, workplaces, relationships, gifts, talents, everything. And on the same note, my girlfriend Salome is reading a book for me. So we talk on phone and she reads a page or two for me. Treasure Principle. The same thing. It's been just... something beautiful to hear her read that for me, and yeah. So again, the book is all about giving, and yeah. Thanks, Dan. How about you?
Yeah. As you're mentioning Trinity,
yeah.
I think one of the places that I have desired to grow in terms of my prayer
yeah.
is to pray Trinitarian prayers.
Pray to the Triune God.
I pray to the Triune God. I
yeah.
think most of the time we are guilty of. You know, sort of not the Holy Spirit is not, He is not very prominent in our prayers.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
we pray
true.
To the Father and
in the name of Christ,
but
yeah.
the Spirit is not as
yeah.
prominent in our prayers. So I think
yeah.
that is one of the things that I have been learning and
yeah.
thinking about.
Yeah.
And just seeing ways from scripture, especially
yeah.
On how to pray Trinitarian prayers.
Amen.
Yeah. In terms of what I have been learning, I've been
yeah.
learning about the doctrine of the believer's union with Christ.
I mean, a friend, yeah. I'm sure this is a friend, but Pastor Chad
yeah.
recently visited our church. He's a pastor back in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Grace Fellowship Church, Hazleton. And he had that as PhD thesis, wow. Union with Christ. Yeah. He graduated from the Southern Seminary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. That has been so refreshing to
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
So encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever we have
yeah.
is because we are united with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that in Romans 6, that mm. believers are united with him mm. in with Christ in his yeah. crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
in his burial,
mm-hmm.
In his and also in his crucifixion,
mm.
in his burial,
mm.
and also in his resurrection,
mm.
and seeing how
yeah.
our union with Christ mm. is the power
mm.
that we need to fight sin.
Mm.
Seeing that in Romans chapter 6,
mm.
Seeing it in 1 Corinthians mm. chapter 6,
mm.
you know, on sexual immorality, our bodies,
yeah.
and sexual immorality, how union with Christ
mm.
Makes the difference there.
Mm.
Seeing as well in 1 Corinthians
mm.
That because of God the Father, we yeah. are in Christ,
yeah.
who has become to us wisdom from God and righteousness
yeah.
and sanctification and yeah. redemption.
Yeah.
Seeing the preposition in yes. in Christ, in him, Ephesians 1,
yeah.
Just denoting our union with Christ
yeah.
as the basis of our righteousness, yeah. our sanctification, our yeah. glorification, our adoption.
Yeah.
It is because we are in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is a truth that I have been seeing and, you know, just praying along those lines
yeah.
Of scripture.
Mm.
I think something else, studying through,
yeah.
I just finished Jonah,
yeah.
Is just to see myself as that that prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really marvel at the fact that God is unlike the prophet,
mm-hmm.
especially in terms of how God is merciful, mm. gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love
yeah.
and faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just not like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
how God is merciful
mm.
to Jonah.
Mm.
At first, you know, he mm. flees to Tarshish
mm.
instead of going to Nineveh.
Yeah.
He appoints
yeah.
a fish to swallow him.
Mm.
The fish spews him out.
Yeah.
He goes on to preach to Nineveh.
Mm.
The Lord saves them. Chapter 4, Jonah is angry.
Mm.
And, you know, God is so merciful and gracious.
Mm. Yeah.
I have just read a bit of
mm-hmm.
Dane Ortland's Gentle and Lowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
A certain section from where he's talking, where I think he quotes Isaiah.
Yes.
Where he's it says, is it Isaiah 54? Mm-hmm. Where it says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts 55. Not our 55.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how in its proper context
yes
it's actually about
yes.
how compassionate God is
yes
you know
yeah that's the proper context not necessarily
yeah
you know I think it's usually you know talk of Isaiah 55 that section out of its context perhaps maybe when we think of how God will decide on certain things or
mm-hmm.
Or generally how abstract are his ways,
mm-hmm.
yeah, beyond comprehension,
mm-hmm.
which is true, but as you put it, the whole context is on the compassionate heart of God. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Maybe just to read it.
Yeah.
Isaiah 55.
Yeah.
From 8.
Mm.
Maybe let me start from 6, actually.
Yeah.
From verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found.
Mm.
Call upon him while he is near.
Yeah.
Let the wicked forsake his way,
mm.
and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, it's God calls
yeah.
On on people mm-hmm. to come near to him,
yeah.
the wicked to forsake his way, than mm-hmm. righteous man. So he bids the people to come to him.
Yeah.
And then he says, in verse 7,
mm-hmm.
Let him, the unrighteous, the wicked, mm-hmm. return to the Lord,
yeah.
that he, the Lord, may have compassion on him.
Mm-hmm.
And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Mm-hmm. So you have compassion there. You have yeah. God who abundantly pardons. And mm-hmm. then verse 8, for my thoughts are not mm. your thoughts,
mm.
neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
Amen.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth,
yeah.
so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he's saying to all of us, really all of us, come to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. Mm.
I am compassionate
yeah.
in a manner
yeah.
that... Mm. You
yeah.
do not know
yeah.
in a manner that mm-hmm. you cannot, you, I mean, God is saying, I am a compassionate God.
Amen, amen.
Right?
Amen, yeah.
In ways that perhaps you
cannot understand,
or maybe you have not seen.
Yeah, because that's not your default setting.
That is not your default setting. For most of us, we think, when I've sinned,
yeah.
I'm really messed up. Like, God is just up there,
so you angry. Want to hide.
Yeah, so I want to hide.
Yeah.
But God is saying,
that
your thoughts are not like his.
Mm.
Right? He is compassionate and he abundantly pardons.
Mm.
And so, studying through Jonah and just seeing that
Amen.
Has really been impactful for me.
Amen. Thanks, Dan, for sharing that. May the Lord help us to grow in these things, and may they always point us to Christ. Sorry. May they always point us to Christ. I'm trying to get something here. All through religion, this is tract that I got by John Thornbury. Perhaps this will be my last comment. It's a short one, but just to read for us and for the listener.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are to point to Christ. Our studies, our devotions, all that you do, all religious activities ought to point to Christ, because he is the substance. All things must point to him. The Old Testament, all the way from Genesis, pointed to Christ. Yeah, and so Christ is all that we have. All true religion has its center and focus in a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other things which may attend to and which in themselves are important, like our devotions and studies and reading of books, are nevertheless secondary to this supreme end. I greatly fear that many have missed this important and basic truth. For example, many seem to rejoice only in the blessings and benefits of Christ and have little concern about their relation to his person. Others have a tendency to become enamored with the duties and ordinances and have no genuine devotion to the one whom these things concern. I'll be the last to belittle the place of doctrine in our Christian experience. But truth can be cold and lifeless unless it is connected to the truth himself. One may be converted to a doctrinal system which is ever so orthodox and yet be eternally lost. Soundness in the faith is a necessary guide to vital godliness, but in itself it is powerless. The ordinances are important, but what good are forms and ceremonies if they do not lead us to the Lord? I am firmly convinced that one of Satan's greatest devices to blind the souls of men is religion. And I might add, Christless religion. He cares not how much of the shell and form and husk of Christianity we have, so long as we are not vitally united to the Lord of glory. It goes on and on, and I'll go to the last sentence. Are you endeavoring to daily walk in a way that is pleasing to Christ? If not, may the blessed Spirit, who is the representative of the Lord Jesus on earth, turn you from your downward course and reveal Christ to your heart.
Amen.
Amen. So may all that we do point us to Christ, and may the unbeliever know that if you don't know Christ, if you are out of Christ, may you know that there is no other way in which men can be saved but from Jesus Christ, because he is perfect, he is holy, he is righteous, and he has died on behalf of sinners. He didn't remain in the grave. God raised him up from the dead, after 3 days, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. If you repent of your sins and if you put your faith in him, God is merciful. Whoever calls on the Lord, the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have questions, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll be glad to help you understand this from the Word of God, the Bible, the written Word of God. Thank you, Stan. Thank you for having us here.
Thank you, Mark, for that. Until next time, brothers, adios.
Adios. Bye-bye.